Thank you, folks. As I remind you, our theme this year is live in the moment. Every one of us need to remember that our time in eternity deals with moment to moment. I live in the moment because of the grace of my Savior. You live each moment, but in a twinkling of an eye, things change. Have you noticed that? Tragic accidents in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Didn't expect it. Tragic situations in life in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So the Lord said, I want you to understand something. I'm in charge of your moments. I'm watching over your moments. See, you and I barely can even think in a moment. It's difficult for us as human beings. You know why? You have so much stuff in your mind that you're trying to work out. And the older you get, the more lives you allow. And I'm not putting this down, it's just a fact. To become a part of your thinking process. What you want to help your spouse, you want to help your children, you want to help your neighbor, you want to help your siblings, you know, everything about you is different as you grow. Your wanting to help is proof of God's love. Your helping is the expression, outward expression of God's love. Do you care enough to mention a name to the Lord in prayer? Do you love enough to feel their pain, those around you? In a moment that you're living, I want you to focus your heart. I want you to focus your whole being on what Jesus says. It's not the idea, well, yeah, I know. Well, I don't carry the Bible around with me all the time. Or, believe it or not, Pastor, I haven't looked in my Bible for quite some time yet. Or, you might say, well, I have it. My problem is, if some reason I can't get it open. But when something happens in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye of your life, you have a tendency to open it. What does God say? Nothing wrong with that. What I'm telling you is this. You're led in that direction because God loves you. You're wanting answers for life, your life, your family's life. It's in the book. The answer for you personally, it's in the book. The answer for your family personally, it's in the book. God made sure that we got the book. And now I understand that they're wanting to ban it again. Attempt to ban the Bible. You're going to ban God? You're not going to ban the Bible. God's still in control. And God is going to plant His word in your heart. You already know the difference between right and wrong. You know, I want to do this, but I don't know whether it's wrong or not. Don't do it. Don't do it. Leave it alone. God says, I will warn you about the moment ahead. I'll give you signs. I'll amaze you with how much I love you so that you can love one another. God's whole focus is for us to love one another. During the first century churches, there were seven churches in Asia Minor. that the angel of the Lord had to bring a message to the pastors and to the church members. And the Lord said, tell them this is what I say. This morning I'm going to talk to you about the church at Ephesus. The seven churches started doing the right thing. But in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, things started to change. Let me tell you something. Once again, I'll hold up the book, the Bible. When the church quits preaching from this book and decides to pull in all the other books, the church is in trouble. When you start accepting the ways of the world into God's ways, into God's house, and welcoming what God says will destroy your own children, you're in trouble. So in the moment that God gives you, listen to what Jesus says to you. Now, for those of you who want to tell everybody else what to do, don't. Because if you're telling everybody else what to do, all that is a good sign that you don't have any idea what you're doing. Because you see, you got your hands full with you. Now, why then would other people want to listen to you? One reason. The other people know that you love them. See, love is the key of knowing that Jesus is working in your life. When you love your fellow man, when you care enough to warn them, when you love so much that you see them hurting under any situation, and in some cases you'll get to the point to where you're hurting even more because of your love. Parents do that with their children all the time. They hurt from within because their child is being hurt from without. And that parent doesn't want to see that. For they know that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, life can change. Pain can become overwhelming. A broken heart, a devastated spirit. God says, in a moment, listen to Jesus. In that moment you're hurting the most, listen to the cry of your heart. Jesus will send a spokesman. Normally they have skin on them. He'll send you a personality. But he'll also speak directly to you. That's how much your Savior loves you. You see, I don't have time to get into all of my faults with the Lord when I'm talking to him. For one thing, I confess, Lord, I'm a mess. And I always hear that voice coming back. Yeah, but you're my mess, Larry. You see, the human nature battles against the godly spirit. The human thinking process is so often opposite from the truth that Christ wants you to have in your heart. And he says to the angel, I want you to go to the churches. And I want you to take a message for me. It's sort of like Jesus says, I'm talking to you. That's what it is. Jesus says, I'm talking to you. So the angel goes to the church at Ephesus. An angel says this in Revelation 2, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to be reading these statements. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars, the pastors, in his right hand, and walks among the seven golden lampstands. The lampstands represent the church, the body of believers. Jesus holds in his hand the power of the church. It's not in the great philosophers. It's in the heart of who Jesus is in the church. Do the pastors allow Jesus' word to be taught and preached? Do the pastors reach out with a heart of love to the members of the body of believers and see the hurt as the hurt is coming upon them and have mercy and lift them up in prayer? Do you, for your fellow man, are our prayers just confined to our immediate family? The proof that you love God is in your love for your fellow man, whoever they are. But in the process, you got to tell them the truth. No, that's not a lifestyle that God blesses. No, that's not what God said. Here's what the Lord says, and then at the end, I love you. Express your love in your actions. Express your love in your commitment to wanting the best for those around you. At the church of Ephesus, the Lord is looking in, and he says, I'm watching. I see what is going on. And then you know, Jesus says this, I know. See, that's an interesting thing about living in the moment. Jesus knows the moment. Here's a blessing for you, Christian. He knows your next moment. You got me? And the next one. You don't. When you're driving down that road, Jesus knows what's around the curve. You don't. Jesus? Well, that'd be a good opportunity for a song, Brother Randy. Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus knows what's around the curve. And when he knows you and watches after you, you know you're taken care of. You know, a lot of times when people will ask for prayer, I always direct them to something. You all prayed for me. I fought those five cancers, two of which said I couldn't make it. But what did I tell you? I said, when you're praying for me, you pray that God's will be done in my life. It's not always the healing of the body, but it is always listening to Jesus. What does Jesus want me to do? What does he want me to contribute to a society that he's placed me in? And one thing I can promise you this, your pastor will always preach from this book, that word, and I will always love you because I am always loved. See, when you got the love, you can hand it out. When you have the love in your heart and you know God's word and you know that God is the wisdom for your life, then you'll find a peace that surpasses all understanding. The angel's gone to the church, and the angel is warning the first century church. You know what was going on in the first century church? The same thing is going on in the 21st century church. Same evil, same garbage was going on then that's going on today. Do you know about the message? Same message. Hadn't changed. Jesus did not do a rewrite on his word. Now, he had watched many, many individuals decide to remake their life and the world in their own image, but there's only one creator. His name is Jesus. When he creates, well, he did it right the first time. Now, you think you're a mess again? Jesus don't make junk. Jesus says to you, I love you. See, we need each other to balance out. We do. Now, the Lord put Brother Randy in my path to balance me out.
I'm a blessing to you.
Yes. It's the personality of the love of Christ. And the Lord will take different personalities and put them with the weirdest personalities. Have you noticed?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He does that. Because I love you, he says. This is what's going to even you. Listen to what I say, Jesus says. Because I love you that much, I want you to have balance. And I'm the one that'll give you that balance. As he looks to the church at Ephesus, his heart was also breaking. For he saw within the church a great mistake. And that church at Ephesus, the mistake was, and God sends the charge against them. You've done real good. Things are going good for you because you stood against the evil. Yet, you left your first love. When you say yes to Jesus Christ, and you accept Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, as we all know, there is a feeling that comes over us. Oh, that's amazing. The feeling of peace. The feeling of joy. The excitement. I got to tell everybody that I said yes to Jesus. I'm going to be baptized. I've accepted Jesus. I want to serve him. God bless us. There's always a church member that says, oh, that's okay, son, calm down. You won't be that excited later. Well, I got news for you. I'm as excited right now as I have ever been because I know the truth of life is in Jesus. I know the peace that I needed to survive. People saying you can't live. And realizing, wait a minute. You didn't create me, but that's fine. I'm excited about going home. And remember I shared with you my greatest sin during that time was I got too excited about leaving. I could just picture all the angels. When Dr. Harper comes in and said, I'm going to kill it, Larry's going to have to stay down there. Yep, the Lord's going to keep him down there longer. Well, you see, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the same Savior who saved me will save you, has saved you, will give you peace, will give you a joy that nobody can understand. Don't you let the world, don't you dare let them put a basket over your candle. You let that light of Jesus shine. You express love. You express that peace. The Lord says, I know. Verse 2 of Revelation 2. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Well, all right. But then Jesus says, I want you to remember and I want you to repent. Everywhere there is a good, there is an evil. You got me? Evil stand close by, wanting to take over that which is good. Jesus says, call on me. See, it's tough. Life gets heavy. Have you ever noticed that? The weight of all decisions, life itself gets so heavy that we become pressed down with the weight of it. And we have a Savior that's saying to us, why are you taking all of this? I thought I told you to give it to me. I thought when you came to the altar of prayer, you said, Lord, forgive me. And yet you're battling guilt continually. A forgiveness from Christ is a total forgiveness. You don't work for it. It's a gift on your belief that Jesus is who he says he is and that he will do exactly what he says. And where's your proof? Well, in your own life. You don't need somebody to tell you that. You have proof of it in your own life. Jesus has shown himself to you in so many different situations. The proof is in your heart. You're in church today, those of you who are here and the many that are listening and watching us this morning. The love of Christ draws you to his word. The peace of Christ sustains you in his word. It's not through your strength or even the wisdom of doctors. It's through the love of a Savior who says to you, pay attention. And yet he says in verse 4, listen to it. Yet I hold this against you, Ephesus. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the heights from which you have fallen. Repent. That's to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I messed up again. Repent and do the things you did at first. What I did at first was totally dependent on Jesus. Nothing changes. Christian, please listen to me. Do not think that you're going to get up in a position in your life to where you can truly say, Jesus, I'm so thankful for all that you've done for me. I've done all my study. Well, Lord, I've accepted you as my personal Savior. And I know there's a lot of other hurting people out here in this world. So I want you to go take care of them. And I'll show you what kind of Christian I can be. You are going to hit the ditch of life big time. You're going to be so buried in the mud of that ditch, it'll take three of us just to dig you out. Because there will be no time ever in your existence when you don't depend on Jesus. Because it is He who not only saves you, it is He that keeps you that way and follows through. You can never know so much that you tell Jesus, I got this, Father. Because trust me, folks, you don't have it. And when you hit the ditch of life, it's lonely down there. It's painful. Oh, the stench is horrible. And your fellow Christians are commanded by God to dive down in that ditch and pull you out. Whew. But I'm so thankful that Jesus always had a crew ready to jump down and lift me up again. That's what Christianity is. Jesus in you. Ephesus, you left your first love, your excitement, your first work, your zeal for leading people to Jesus, your courage, that when the largest group said, no, this is the way it's done, you stand strong on that word, for it is His word that keeps you strong. It is not by your strength. It is not by your great mind, nor your wonderful wisdom. All is a gift from Jesus. And it is Jesus who says, pay attention to me, for I am the one who loves you. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent. Do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. The church. 900 a year close their doors. 900 a year. Why? Well, I guess because they didn't have the members. No. Where two or three are gathered together, Jesus says, I'm in the midst of them. The doors close when the gospel ceases to be preached. The doors close in your heart when you refuse to listen to that gospel that is preached. But the gospel I want you to get, you know what gospel means and what the good news is? Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's it. Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's what He has done. I got news for you. He's still doing it. You think you're a mess and you've went beyond that point? You're listening, watching, you're present. You haven't gone beyond that point. Or you wouldn't be in the presence of His Word being taught. That's the power. You know what's more wonderful than that? That's the love. The hardest thing that we can accept is love from someone else. Well, how in the world could you love me? Good gracious. Wife, I love you. But I looked at myself in the mirror this morning. How in the world can you love me? Love is a gift from your Savior to your heart. Jesus loves you, whether you like it or not. Might as well suck it up. Jesus loved you enough that he went to the cross and died for you while you were still in the sinning state, rebellious to him. He died for you just the way you are. Any straightening out of your life, let him do it, because we'll make a mistake with each other. You know something? Our full power is in a word known as love. His full commitment, Jesus, the one who loves you, his full commitment was given to us in a word we know as love. And he says, you know, when you've passed from death unto life, when you love your brethren, when you can love each other, when you express that love to your fellow and sistren, when you express that love, that's proof of the love of Christ. Yeah, that's the Word of God, and it doesn't get better than the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, dear Lord God, for blessings, for joy. We thank you for our salvation, for our church. Father, you brought each one of us together as a body of believers. It is your church, Lord, that you have given to your Son. We're part of your family, Father. And you promised, and you've always followed through on your promises. Thank you, Father, for giving to us the greatest of all gifts, your love through your Son. We ask now for your blessing to be upon each heart. For you, Father, to calm the spirit, to reach down in any ditch, and to touch the heart of the fallen. Send them to our church, Lord. Whoever they are, let them come as they are, whenever they can. For we ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.